Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
What's your favorite scary movie?
What's the boogeyman?
You hang up on me again, I'll cut you like a fish, understand?
It's showtime.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And today we have an exciting show for you. Continuing on with our Ghostbusters series.
Yes.
We're talking about Ghostbusters 2016.
AKA Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
Now, a lot of people did not like this one.
It gets a lot of hate.
But I actually liked it.
We enjoyed it, yes.
I thought it was funny. And we'll definitely get into this as the episode rolls on. But I'm not trying to be biased, but I would say I did like this movie.
Yeah, I liked it too. So, I don't know. All right, do you want me to just go ahead and jump into the summary?
Yep, jump on in.
Okay, so following a ghost invasion of Manhattan, paranormal enthusiasts Aaron Gilbert and Abby Yates, nuclear engineer Jillian Holtzman, and subway worker Patty Tolan band together to stop the otherworldly threat. I almost said underworldly.
Underworld.
I guess it's the same kind of.
That's a wrong movie, but yes.
It's otherworldly threat. It's had a couple of taglines, not quite as many as Ghostbusters, the original, still, which still wins for most taglines ever. But this movie had the classic, "Who You Gonna Call?"
That's good.
And "Answer the Call," which
that's good.
Goes along with the kind of alternative title.
Well, speaking of Ghostbusters, the first one, I think it was ahead of its time. I think they didn't know how successful this was.
No.
Going to be.
That's true. You're talking about the 1984 one.
The 1984 one, right?
Yeah,
the very first one.
I don't think anyone knew how popular that movie was going to end up being and that it's still ingrained in us these days.
Yeah, we're still talking about it.
So people still cosplay as those people.
If you go to cons, people love to cosplay as Ghostbusters.
Yes, absolutely.
The best line, one more time, is "Get her."
You always love saying
that. I love that.
You do. That's true. All right, so back to the current one. This movie is rated PG-13. Its genre is comedy, fantasy, adventure, and action. Director was Paul Feig. And it was produced by Ivan Reitman and Amy Pascal. And it was written by Katie DePold and Paul Feig. It came out in theaters July 15th, 2016, which is a decent amount of time now has passed.
Yeah.
And
to
me, I'm like, no, this was like, what, 2 years ago? But no, it was a lot longer than that this movie came out. So the cast we have for this one, lots of women. We have Melissa McCarthy as Dr. Abigail Abby Yates. Kristen Wiig was Dr. Aaron Gilbert. Kate McKinnon was Jillian Holtzman. Leslie Jones was Patricia Patty Tolan. And we have our eye candy for this one. Chris Hemsworth was Kevin Beckman.
I always forget that he was in here. When we were watching this and he pops up, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And this is during the Marvel. This has to be during Marvel.
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah.
We were definitely in the middle of all the Marvel stuff. So, yes. super funny. And then we have Neil Casey was Dr. Rowan North. So, yeah, a big cast. Lots of funny women in this film that were.
Yeah, I would agree. The stars. Melissa McCarthy, I always think about her for Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, that's like her big break, right? That's why I feel like a lot of us associate that with her.
I feel like she is going to have a hard time getting past that. I mean, she's done other roles.
Yeah.
She's not typecasted as Sookie. No. Mm-mm. But that's all. When I see her, that's my go-to for her.
I think a lot of people still would immediately think of her Gilmore Girls character.
You know she does not watch that character. I was reading an interview.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like that character, actually.
I think I read she didn't like her portrayal of the character.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't know. You know how a lot of actors will do that, though. They'll watch something they were in, and they're just like, oh, I could have done it better or differently, and especially as they grow and mature.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, but I don't know if that's exactly. I think I just read that someplace.
I'm
too.
So narcissistic that I'd be like, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
That, if I'm sure actors watch themselves, but I would.
Some do. Yeah. Some do not.
I would have a big premiere and be like, all the movies I'm in, we're all watching.
We're going to watch them all in a row.
Yep. That's it.
That seems like you, definitely. Oh, well, we're not quite done with the cast yet because we have some original Ghostbusters that make appearances in the film. First off, we have Bill Murray as the paranormal debunker, Dr. Martin Heiss. Dan Aykroyd is a taxi driver. Just pops up there.
Keep going.
Mm-hmm. And he also contributed as an executive producer.
Dan Aykroyd? Yes. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. So he was involved. Ernie Hudson was Patty's uncle, Bill Jenkins, who works as a mortician.
That's pretty funny.
Sigourney Weaver pops up right at the end. Blink and miss her, basically, as Holtzman's mentor, Dr. Rebecca Gorin. And Annie Potts makes an appearance as the hotel receptionist, Vanessa.
She wasn't as mean as she was in the first one.
No.
And that's why I think people like her. Ghostbusters, what do you want? You know, they like so that kid.
I love her. Yeah, it's too funny.
I mean, Sigourney Weaver. They probably shot that in a day, maybe 2 days.
Yeah. She was right there, snuck her in right at the end.
And Dan Aykroyd?
Very quick.
They probably shot that in an afternoon.
Yeah, it was a very quick appearance. I mean, really, except for Bill.
Bill, yeah.
Because Ernie was very quick, too, just coming and yelling at her towards the end of the movie, too. So, yeah. Quick appearances.
So we're going to do this until Afterlife. Like, I'm excited to see the new movie. Her and I both have not seen Ghostbusters Afterlife.
No, the Afterlife is the next one. Frozen Empire is the one that we'll be seeing in theaters.
Right. And like I'm saying, we haven't seen the newer ones yet.
No, but we will soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So filming locations. Though the movie is set in New York City, most of the filming was done around Boston. So that includes Chinatown, Easton, a hangar, and a runway on the old South Waymore Naval Air Station.
Really?
Yeah, who knew that? And the old Everett High School in Everett, Massachusetts. So not in New York, in adjacent-ish in Boston.
One thing I've noticed when you're shooting a movie, mm-hmm. you basically go where you get the permits to do it.
Yeah, and then pretend.
You make it look like what you need to
it to be like. Say it's wherever you are. I gotcha.
And mm-hmm. the audience will follow.
Mm-hmm. And the runway set at Union Point. So Union Point is also the naval like air station. Same thing. The runway set at Naval Point was made to appear as a two-block stretch of Times Square, so 42nd Street to 44th, complete with streetlights, lots of green screens, and the focal point was a two-story structure with an office building feel to it. The crosswalks are production painted, and the asphalt are currently still visible on the runway.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
That's pretty cool. So next time we're in Boston, we'll go up in there and check it out.
Have to go see it, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have some trivia, of course, for this one. We're going to start with all of the original throwback to the first Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Because there's a lot. So first of all, at the end of the credits, they do dedicate the film to Harold Ramis, because, of course, he wasn't around when they went to film this. And he actually passed away in 2014, in case you forgot. So a few years before this. There's also a bust of Ramis's head just outside of Aaron's university office near the beginning of the film. And that bust was later donated to the Harold Ramis Film School at Chicago Second City, where he began his career.
Wow.
So the bust is still out there. And I thought that was very cool.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. At one point in the movie, Aaron proclaims that books can't fly and neither can babies. And these happen in Ghostbusters 1984 and Ghostbusters 2, respectively.
Get so, her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Uh-huh. After Aaron comes to Abby's lab and announces that she's been fired, Abby says, unlike Columbia, this institute is 100% behind us.
Columbia and this, Pictures?
No, this is a reference to Ghostbusters and... Oh. The original one where Columbia University said, yes, you can film here, but don't mention us. We don't want you to acknowledge that you're at Columbia.
Gotcha.
Which is pretty funny now when you think back on it. In some of the movie posters that feature Holtzman, on her proton pack is the number 2206. And this is the same number as Dana Barrett's apartment in the original Ghostbusters.
Okay. And you actually see this because I missed that.
Yeah. I forgot to really look for it, actually, when we watched it. But yeah, it's on. Well, I guess you could see it on the movie posters, so you could go Google that. And when the Ghostbusters are driving to the rock concert, they pass the New York Public Library, a location from the original Ghostbusters. And they pass the docking area where the Ecto-1 rides out with the motorcade after they meet with the mayor. So they pass two other, locations.
And we'll have to go back and rewatch some of this.
Mm-hmm. During the climax, the number 1984 is seen on Holtzman's proton pack. 1984 was the year the original Ghostbusters was released in theaters.
Yeah.
And Kate McKinnon was born that year. What a throwback.
Really?
So she's the same age as you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just We're learned old. That too.
We're old.
Now we are. That's very true. Mm-hmm. This is the first Ghostbusters film to introduce another ghost of Slimer's kind, the love interest that they call Lady Slimer. Do you remember when he's cruising mm-hmm. around? He's got his girlfriend.
I was wondering where she came from.
Yeah, they
I
was introduced like, her.
Where She's did this new. One come from?
She is new. And the role is played by Robin Shelby, who also played Slimer in Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
And that, yeah, I found pictures of her. I'll have to look them up again, where she's like literally in this like giant puppet outfit. It's
That's
crazy.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. Little tiny lady in that. Bill Murray's professional skeptic and paranormal debunker character tells Aaron, I'd like to see that. I really would when told of the ghost in the trap. This line, as well as its delivery, is a direct quote of William Atherton's character, Walter Peck, in the original Ghostbusters.
And that's what I thought.
When told of the containment unit.
I would like to see that. I really would. When, yep. when he's going there to shut him down.
Yeah, right. A direct throwback line. Mm-hmm. The first property that the Lady Ghostbusters look at, they say is too expensive. You probably picked up on this, but it was the headquarters.
Yeah,
of
the original one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all. Yeah, that was pretty obvious. Dan Aykroyd's character, the taxi driver, quotes both his character from the original movie, where he references Class 5 floating vapors, and Ray Parker Jr.'s theme song, I Ain't Afraid of No Ghosts.
That's true.
Two little throwbacks in there. The containment unit shown near the end of the movie shows a D. Barrett and a V. Chlortho on its monitor. Dana Barrett is Sigourney Weaver's character in Ghostbusters, so D. Barrett. And Vince Chlortho is the Keymaster, the entity that possessed Lewis.
She does not have very good luck with apartments, especially in New York City.
Yeah, we've established that, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
In an after credit scene, Patty is running through a tape player checking for ghostly phenomena. Suddenly, she looks up from the machine and says she thinks that she's got something. And when they all look, she asks, what's Zool? And they all shrug in confusion. And of course, Zool was the big evil thing in the original Ghostbusters. Slimer eating hot dogs from a street vendor is not only a reference to his original appearance in the first Ghostbusters, but also references Kevin's earlier drawing when he describes a ghost levitating a hot dog. So it's all kind of a tie-in when he's shown all those stupid logos and they're just like, I think you missed the point for what we were going for. Very funny. Ernie Hudson makes his cameo appearance at the end of the movie, as we said, playing Patty's uncle outside of the original Ghostbusters firehouse, because now they had moved in there at right. this point. And that's also where his character Winston makes his first appearance in the original movie. So
that is true.
Tie in there. And not counting this movie's mid and post-credit scenes, Ernie Hudson delivers the final line in this movie and the original Ghostbusters.
Okay, what were they?
Oh, I don't know.
You didn't research that?
No.
Spoiler alert.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you'd ask. I should have known you'd ask that. I'm sorry.
I'm sure other listeners are being like, come on, Samantha, what were they?
Well, you should know.
I don't know him either.
Yeah, you're so judgy and you should know too. Anyway, and nobody knew whether or not Bill Murray would actually show up to do his cameo until he arrived on the day it was filmed.
Really? That sounds like Bill Murray.
And I was like, yep,
so
seems about right.
I will tell you something about Bill Murray. So we're doing this Ghostbusters series.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted Bill Murray to come on our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to Bill Murray's attorney. And I don't know if we discussed this. We could have. But I reached out to his attorney
mm-hmm.
and asked him, hey, can we book Bill Murray? I can give him $500 to coming on. Just because I wanted to give him something. I know that's probably a slap in the face to him, but you know.
I'm sure Bill Murray. Yeah. Okay.
So he promptly hits me back, his attorney, and says, no, Bill Murray does not want to do your podcast.
Bill would not be interested in being on your podcast. Something like that.
Yes.
Yes. But don't worry. We now have it on a t-shirt that we will be wearing and we'll post pictures of.
We made that into a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So if you guys want that, let us know. But that's where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I reached out to Bill Murray and to other celebrities is because closed mouths don't get fed. If you want to get interviews with these guys, you got to just take the opportunity.
Robbie will talk to anybody, just FYI, and ask. Talk to anybody.
Ashley found that out at the Indiana Comic Con.
I feel like maybe I didn't warn her well enough before you went, but that's how you meet people. That's when Robbie is there.
Some famous TikToker with a tiara, Disney TikToker, walked by and she was like, oh, that's the TikToker I like. Mm-hmm. And I was like, come on, let's go meet her. Grabbed Ashley's hand and she was like super reluctant to do it.
Yeah, I know.
But I got a photo of her. I talked to this girl like I was her number one fan. But I'll tell you, I had no idea who she was.
Yep.
So.
But Ashley did.
Ashley did, and that's what I was doing it for.
Ashley did.
And we met Tim the Toolman Taylor, or the Home Improvement, Al Borland.
Yes, you met that actor.
Yes, we met the actor. He's a super nice guy.
Jealous.
So.
Jealous.
All right, well, you can continue. Sorry for this little banter.
Interruption of my Ghostbusters trivia. Okay.
Well, I wanted to let you know about Bill Murray.
No, that was a fun fact. I like that. So, Daniel Ramis is the son of Harold Ramis, and he has a small role as a metalhead outside the concert that Rowan attends.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Paul Feig is the voice on the other end of the walkie-talkie that tells Rowan to go clean the bathrooms. And he also appears to reference the original Ghostbusters when he refers to the plumbing problem as biblically bad. So, yeah, but there you go. So the director and writer was on the phone. And he also, Paul Feig, also is the voice of the Ghost Jumpers narrator. And he also drew the ghost with the giant boobs.
Oh, okay. So,
he's been heavily involved in this film, other than directing and helping write it. During the exorcism scene, Patty can be seen swinging a metal tube directed towards Abby. The metal tube is actually one of the exterior pieces seen on the backside of the DeLorean in Back to the Future.
Really?
I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Freaking cool. Also, in case you don't know, we are going into April. And the Pixie Dust twins at this time will be doing the Back to the Future trilogy.
I did not know that either.
Tie in right there. If you love Back to the Future, we are talking about it for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. 3 weeks? Okay. Well, that's three. 1, 2, and 3. Movies. I got you.
Yeah. We would have done longer, but that was it for the movies. When Erin Gilbert is giving her presentation on quantum physics, she writes equations on the board, and one of them spells the equation that writes out. Like, you can see the word that says paranormals Wait, hold on. Because I have to, it's hard. ParanormalsUndiesLab.com. And you could type the formula into Google search to get redirected to a promotional website for the film.
You're going to make me want to do that to see if it's still
up. As of October 2017, it was taken offline. So you
damn.
Can't. No. Yeah. But at one point, you could. Yeah. I don't think it's Undie. Okay, hold on. It's Paranormals plus UD Lies / Lab. I'll put it in the notes because it's very hard to read because it's like a big formula thing. And I feel like I'm sounding like an idiot. So I'll just put it in the notes. You can just read it there. But also, you can't look it up. So I'm sorry. Kristen Wiig had to be slimed twice as the first one missed her face and the second blast knocked her wig off. So instead of taking another 2 hours to reset and try again, they just cut the two together and added some digital slime for good measure.
Well, that's cool. It seemed to work.
That's an intense scene, though. So I felt bad. I was like, I'm glad they didn't make her do it over and over again because it looks like a lot.
Doing it practically.
Mm-hmm. And Jason Reitman, son of the original Ghostbusters director Ivan Reitman, was asked in an interview if he would consider directing the reboot. He joked that based on his existing work, his version of the film would just be people talking about ghosts. 3 years after this film's release, though, it was announced that he would be directing a new Ghostbusters movie, which would be a sequel to his father's movies in the original timeline. So, and as we know, we're going to be talking about those next. So yeah. Those are the current movies that are out now. Both Reitmans did appear on a panel with Paul Feig at a Ghostbusters fan fest. And the younger director thanked Feig for kicking down the door on what a Ghostbuster. It's missing a word. For kicking down the door on what a Ghostbuster is and who a Ghostbuster could be. I'm sorry. One of the words was missing and I threw me off.
I don't want people to think
the
they're
weird pause.
See it, or their tape player skipped or
for
something.
The weird pause. Because I was like, I think a word is missing. It was. Yeah, it's not me. When the Ghostbusters early version of the proton pack fails and gets crushed by the subway train, the sound it emits is the same sound as the Millennium Falcon hyperdrive feeling in Star Wars Episode 5.
Oh my God.
So I thought that was funny.
That's pretty cool, though.
A fun little Star Wars tie-in.
That means Ghostbusters make so much money that they can license sound from Star Wars. Think about that for a second.
That's impressive. That's true. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think there's going to be a Ghostbusters film, even in the new ones, that the older stars are not tied to.
Yeah.
Because I still, even though they're trying to pass the torch, I still think people go back to them.
Yeah,
I don't think they can 100% pass the torch on to the next generation.
I agree with you. Mm-mm. The equipment test in the alley was added in reshoots, and it was actually suggested by Melissa McCarthy. And fun fact, the alley was infested with rats.
Oh, great.
That's a fun time on set, sounds like, yeah. Paul Feig knew Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live. In case you didn't know, she's very famous for being on Saturday Night Live. You probably didn't know that, but she is.
Right.
He had met her at a couple after parties, but it wasn't until he read an interview where she said that one of her childhood dreams was to be a Ghostbuster that he thought to have her come in for the film. I thought that was
so they just gave her the part?
Well, she sounds like she still had to read for it, but he asked her to come, I think, do a read because of that. And I thought that was very cool, though.
I'll tell you what, in Hollywood, from working out there and from experience, it's not what you know.
It's who you know.
It's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get ahead in Hollywood.
Very true. Yeah. And Melissa McCarthy won a People's Choice Award for Favorite Comedic Movie Actress for this film. And this film also won Favorite Movie at the 2017 Kids' Choice Awards.
Really? That's pretty
cool. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. And Favorite Movie Actor and Favorite Movie Actress went to Chris Hemsworth and Melissa McCarthy as well.
I could see that.
Yeah, I thought that was
Chris Hemsworth fun. Definitely plays a different character in this.
I like it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Last trivia I've got is about the soundtrack. So the soundtrack features three covers of the original Ray Parker Jr. theme song, one by Fall Out Boy, which plays when the Ghostbusters go to their first call, one by Walk the Moon, which plays over the beginning of the closing credits, and then a third one by Pentatonix, which does not appear in the film. And then there was a fourth cover of the theme by No Small Children that plays at the end of the closing credits. And that final one, that band is made up of school teachers, and they were recommended to the director, Paul Feig, during post-production. And he liked it so much that he included their cover in the movie at the last minute, which makes it seem like they probably replaced Pentatonix's cover.
Well, I would be upset about that, but they probably got paid an enormous amount of money. Mm-hmm. So, it's still, I guess it's a win-win.
And Walk the Moon apparently still plays their cover during their concerts.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, fun fact.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that is all I got. So where do you want to start with this?
So what do you think of the movie?
I thought it was fun. I think it's funny. I like it. I mean, it's not the same as the original, of course, right? Yeah. It's a whole different thing, but I thought it was a good movie.
Why do you think people hated on it so much?
I think part of the thing really is that it's not in the original universe. So people seem really to, and I, you know, storyline, all that stuff, of course, matters too. But I feel like people are really latching on, like you said, to these newer movies because they are definitely specifically in the same timeline as the original Ghostbusters. And this is like a reboot, right?
Right.
It was a whole separate thing. They had actors from the original Ghostbusters come in, but they were not the Ghostbusters. They were different characters. So I think that's part of what happened with this is people were just didn't want a reboot. They wanted it back in the same timeline.
So you think that's why we didn't get another film from them?
Yeah, they don't want to do another one because it didn't make the money back. It was panned, you know, which I don't agree with, but
it kind of like with Bill Murray. That's why we didn't get a third Ghostbusters because he didn't think the second one performed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he wasn't interested. But yeah, I mean, I feel bad because I do enjoy this movie.
They were setting it up for a second one.
Yeah, when they asked about Zool, I mean, that was a big hint that something could go down. For sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's funny. Chris Hemsworth is hilarious in this. Kristen Wiig reacting to Chris Hemsworth is super funny in this movie. Because I'm like, does nobody else see what he looks like? I know he's dumb as a bag of rocks, but seriously, no one else is like noticing how cute he is.
Right, right.
That was pretty funny.
You even had one of the guys from The Office in here. In this one.
Yes, I always forget that he's just...
I don't remember which character. Who was he in The Office? Yeah, he came in as the secretary for the big boss, the girl.
Oh, Gabe. Okay.
So the guy, Gabe, from The Office is at the very beginning of this movie.
Yes, he's very funny at the very beginning of this, too. He's, from what I've seen and read and, you know, obviously his podcast, all that stuff, he's a big improviser, so I'm sure he had a blast on this set.
He's been in actually a lot of movies, more than I thought. He was in Silicon Valley for Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
He's just from The Office to this. Yeah. I was just like, oh, man.
I think he's very memorable in The Office. So once you see him there, he really sticks in your brain when you start seeing him other places.
Would you say he's more of a working actor? He hasn't made it
to
the big leagues.
But when he... Playing Gabe is very recognizable. Like, I feel like if you saw him, probably a lot of people reference Gabe.
I'm sure he made it some good money playing Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he did well off that character.
He was in a lot of episodes, really and truly, of The Office.
He was trying to steal Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
So.
He did steal Aaron.
Oh, he did. That's right.
I remember.
That's right.
But I always forget he's at the beginning of this, too. And he's just hilarious.
I got you.
Trying to run from the ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
doesn't they end up possessing him in this one, though? That's what it made it feel like. But then we see him and everything is okay.
Yeah. I mean, because Rowan possesses Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Which is pretty hilarious.
And it actually does something to him. But the girl in the haunted house... In the beginning of this, it doesn't seem like it does anything. With the green slime and everything, it just kind of sets things up.
Well, the ghost that comes out, it just, like, spews the slime on her and then dips.
Right.
And goes and does something else. Whatever ghosts do, I don't know. But, Rowan, I like having Rowan is the big bad, too, because his character is just so pathetic.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie.
No, I gotcha.
And then at the end, you're just like, oh, dude, like, he's pretty intense.
Yeah, I What would you rate this movie?
I mean, I would probably give it maybe like a 7, 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
What would you rate it?
Probably the same.
Yeah. It's not my favorite Ghostbusters, but that's a lot to live up to.
I mean, it's not my go-to Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to watch a Ghostbusters, I'm probably going to pop in either the first one or the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like the theme or the soundtrack for number Ghostbusters 2 more.
I think we mentioned that, yeah.
And I would actually be more prone to watching Ghostbusters 2 because I like because the soundtrack
the music, yeah.
so much.
This one had a decent soundtrack, though.
This is why they do soundtracks, is to engage the audience.
But I think this one had a good soundtrack, too.
I was surprised when Fall Out Boy did a cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think when we were watching this, I was like, is that Fall Out Boy?
You did, and I'm just like, of course it's Fall Out Boy.
So, yes. Yeah, I'm glad. I think Fall Out Boy would have been disappointed if they would have cut that.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio probably paid them a lot of money to do that.
I'm sure they got a lot of money for the
track. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're going to get their money's worth. Do you think Fall Out Boy still performs that, or is it a one and done thing?
I'm sure they would. I mean, I can't imagine that it wasn't like a dream come true to get to be in a Ghostbusters movie.
I feel like no matter what Ghostbusters movie, if you're tapped on the shoulder to actually be in a Ghostbusters movie,
you're
jumping at the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, out of these Ghostbusters, who's your favorite?
Realistically, the partner, not Melissa McCartney, but the one that was that wrote a book.
Are you talking about Kristen Wiig's character?
Yeah, she's very memorable in this.
Yeah.
And I think out of all of them, I think I liked her. Like, when I think of this movie, I think of her.
You think of Kristen, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm.
How about you?
My favorite is Holtz, because she's just insane.
She is...
Every time she opens her mouth, you're like, is she okay? Because it just is
She's the
insanity.
One that does all the proton packs and everything.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Just like, the way she's talking about things and, like... You know, when she's first, they're in the tunnel trying to fight their first ghost, and she's making Aaron put on the first, like, prototype of the pack or whatever, and she's just, like, asking her, like, what was it, like, how's your iron levels, all these, like, crazy questions, and Aaron's just like, wait, what? And she's like, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
It's just so funny how nonchalant she is and all those weapons that she makes, like,
yes.
the different little, oh.
Yeah.
It's
she's the Egon funny. Of the group.
Yeah, and she's not bothered by anything. Exactly. Nothing, no matter what craziness is going on, she's just there for it.
She's like, we can handle this. We got this.
Mm-hmm.
Now yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
What did you think of Melissa McCartney's character in this?
I liked her, and I think I read somewhere that, I can't remember now, I feel like Melissa wanted to play and like the more subdued character. Now, they're all goofy to a certain extent.
Right.
But out of all of these people, I would say Abby is the most kind of down-to-earth character, which is different than some of the things you've seen Melissa in, because she's normally a little bit louder, bigger character. But in this, she's a little more subdued. And I think I had read that Melissa specifically wanted a part, you know,
I'm surprised.
That was a little more subdued.
I'm surprised she didn't want her husband in this.
He did not make a cameo. Yeah.
I'm surprised.
And he makes cameos in like everything she does.
Yeah.
Because they work together all the time. So,
you know, they're never breaking up.
Oh, they seem like a good team, obviously.
Especially in Hollywood. If they can make it in Hollywood, you know they're never breaking
up.
Yeah.
They seem to be pretty in sync with whatever they're up to. So, yeah, but that's a good point. He did not make an appearance that I can recall in this one.
Because when I was watching this, I was waiting for his appearance.
Waiting for him to show up. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's him. Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing about
opportunity.
The wontons soup.
Just,
oh, there's only one wonton. And then at the end of it, they're like filling
she's
it up.
She's just like, this is ridiculous at this point. Like,
the ratio.
I just want soup a decent ratio.
Soup to wonton ratio.
Yeah,
I thought
so
that was
funny.
That's a good running gag through the movie.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really loved her character in this entire thing. And I liked when she was possessed by Rowan, too, because it was just like right on that fine line of funny and insanely creepy.
Yeah.
Like, especially when she's like out the window and her whole head turns around.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was the perfect balance to have her and Patty as the ones that are, you know, facing off against each other, because, you know, Patty was straight up like, this is fucking insane. Like, right. What is going on right now with you?
Yeah.
So funny.
I think Patty was a good comic relief, too. Like, she's just mm-hmm. like, what is going on here?
Yes.
I'm not ready for all this. Maybe I should go back to the subway.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. She probably thought she saw it all working at the subway station.
No.
But now that she's chasing ghosts and everything like that, she's like, no.
Yes.
What is going on here?
Yeah, I thought the casting was just so well done. Leslie Jones.
She's pretty famous, too.
Yeah, she was in SNL.
SNL, yeah. Like, I remember her from SNL.
I thought she was very funny in this as well. And she got to do, again, that mix of being the straight woman, but then also just, like, kind of zany.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She's been in several movies as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't seen them do a lot after this, besides Melissa McCartney. I'm sure they all made good money off of this that mm-hmm. they could go lay on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
And even though it's not as successful as the other one.
Right.
This movie still makes money.
I agree.
Hollywood does not lose money on pictures.
Mm-mm.
And the stars don't lose money either.
Mm-hmm.
People are still making money off of this.
But it's just too bad because, yeah, I did think, like we said, the casting was great. I thought it was very funny. You know, of course, the storyline wasn't perfect, but
right.
that is what it is. But, you know, and again, like we said, like Chris Hemsworth, I always like seeing him in funny roles. Like whenever he gets to be funny Thor, I always really like that.
Right.
Besides just serious Thor. And this was just pure nonsense from the second he stepped in. Like when they did the interview, that was something else I read. So when they sat down with him to interview him for the position,
uh-huh.
that was, I think, all
like for the job.
Yeah. I think most of that was improvised. And he was very nervous to do that because
really?
He's not a big improviser. So, yeah, I was reading that he felt out of his comfort zone with that. But he was very funny. And, like, that scene is just hilarious with him when he's going on and on about the cat that's actually a dog and then it doesn't even actually live with him. It lives with his mom, and all of them at the end are like, what? And then the glasses thing, and she's just like what?
Why are you even wearing these?
Oh, he's very funny.
There are, I mean, for as many funny parts as they are in this movie, I don't know why it didn't do as great.
And I think some people did judge it because there was a lot of CGI in this.
Yeah.
Which I agree. I like practical effects, like the slime and all that stuff when they, like we read about. I do like that better than just doing heavy CGI, but
I don't think it killed the movie.
I still think it was very entertaining. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I agree. But I think I did read some criticism about that. And then there's always the people who are like, it's the whole women team, blah, blah, blah. It was funny. I mean, it was a funny movie. It doesn't matter.
It was a funny movie. Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have carried a second one.
Yeah, but I think the studio got scared. Mm-hmm.
And I even think Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, all the original four, five got nervous and they were like, no, we can't do this. They probably pulled the plug because I think they still own the franchise, right? I think Dan Aykroyd owns it.
Yes, because he created it.
I don't think
Harold. So
yeah, I don't think they could do a Ghostbusters movie without Dan Aykroyd mm-hmm. signing off. I even think Bill Murray might own part of it.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It would not surprise me if all of them owned it, and they all. That's why they have cameos. Is they all have to figure it out.
Light just fell over. probably from Lucifer laying next to it, which now he's conveniently moved to another part of the room.
But yeah, that's why they have cameos, is because they all have to agree on it.
And I'm glad that they all appeared in the film, because I feel like that's like a sign that they all were like cool with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With passing the buck, you know, doing a reboot, whatever, because everybody appeared in it, with the exception of, what's his name, who played Lewis. I'm blanking on the actor's name right now, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Yes, he just.
Why didn't he?
He didn't like. Well, I remember reading, like, he really wasn't a fan of what they did with him, his character in the second movie. And I think he just was kind of done with the franchise at that point, which kind of sucks because I like him as an actor, too.
The guy that speaks funny. They're like, where are you from?
Yes. No. Wait. Are you talking? No, I'm talking about Lewis. The actor that played Lewis. And his name is like on the tip of my tongue. This is...
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yes.
Louis, okay. The guy that played the Keymaster.
Rick Moranis.
Rick. Yes. Okay.
I was like, it's Moranis something. Rick Moranis. I don't know why his name just bloop out of my head. But
I'm surprised he didn't come back.
Yeah. I mean, I just read he just wasn't didn't a big like fan. What he, did. He wasn't as into what they did with him in the second movie. And I think after that, he just was kind of like a...
That's terrible.
I felt bad.
I really hope they bring him back for Afterlife and Frozen and everything. Hopefully they can fit him in.
Yeah, again, Rick Moranis is just, he's a funny actor too, you know?
I mean, he was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids 1 and 2. He's been in a lot of things.
Wasn't he in, like, weren't there three?
Yeah, I think so.
It was like, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. I think he was in that one too.
He made a lot of money doing those, yes, so I'm
that's,
sure.
That's where I, like... Ghostbusters, yes, but I also think of him from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids a lot when I see his face.
I'm sure he could be laying on a beach somewhere as well.
That's like your go-to thing, is everyone wants to be on the beach.
Well, some people do want to be on a beach.
Some people. Not every actor, but...
You're right. People
want to. According to you.
I wouldn't want to be on a beach. Once you get on, you want to keep working.
Yeah, okay.
I'd work until I dropped.
I could see that.
So once you get on, you're... You just keep going.
I can see that with you.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I liked it. Do you have anything else to add about the Ghostbusters? 2026?
2016.
I'm sorry. Not
quite that far in the future yet. But no, I mean, I think we covered it. Like we said, it's funny. It's got a lot of callbacks. The actors all working together were great. It was a good cast.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought very, very good casting choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We laughed a lot while we watched it. So,
all right.
That's just our opinion, though.
Yep. Well, definitely like and subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for checking us out. For everybody that we saw at Indiana Comic Con, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we get to see you guys at PopCon.
Yeah, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Coming soon.
It's coming soon. You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
Bye-bye.
No, it's the line.
Stay spooky, guys.
There we go. Stay spooky. Okay. Bye.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week!